Pop-Up Theatre presents Return to Ripper Street, a Sherlock Holmes review, hosted by Alexandria Tan.
Welcome, listeners, to this brand new episode of Pop-Up Theatre's podcast, Return to Ripper Street. Today, we'll be talking to author and ripperologist John Malcolm. John, thanks for taking the time to be on our show.
Oh, thanks for giving me this opportunity. Any chance to talk about this stuff, I'm all over it.
Right. Great. So let's get right into it. John, you're a ripperologist, which is essentially a researcher on the Jack the Ripper murders. Can you tell us what got you into this line of work with ripperology?
First of all, I'd probably call it more of a hobby than a line of work. It's been like an obsessive hobby for, going on 30 years and not quite. And so it was kind of by accident that I got interested in it to begin with. It had to do with something, to make a long story short, I'd caught the tail end of a documentary. Had to be around probably 1993, I would think. And I heard that, I don't remember the documentary. I don't remember exactly how it was worded, but it was something to the effect, Mary Kelly, last victim of Jack the Ripper. Mm-hmm. And up to that point, I didn't realize that that there was actual murders that took place. I always assumed that Jack the Ripper was a fictional character. Right. And so it was quite by accident. But from there, I got my first book. And now 150 or so books later and more than 25 years. And still can't get enough of it, apparently.
Right. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. So moving on to our next question, how did you get involved in Pop-Up Theatre's podcast play Sherlock Holmes in Ripper Street?
Well, my friend Scott McQuaid and I had been going back and forth with various Jack the Ripper related kind of theories and all that stuff. And so it was him who pointed me in the direction of a Pop-Up Theatre and sent me the link to it. And it's pretty interesting. Yeah, we've had some pretty interesting conversations about all of this. And like I said, I could probably talk all night about it. So any opportunity I have, I welcome. And yeah, it was a refreshing kind of break from the ugliness of the story when you can get into a little, fictionalized kind of dramatized Sherlock Holmes kind of thing. It lightened up the story a bit. And it was nice. I enjoyed it.
Well, I'm glad you had fun. We have you to thank for all the historical accuracy that you brought to the episode. Now, without giving any spoilers of the Ripper Street episode away for our listeners, what did you think of the episode, considering it's a blend of factual fiction? Did it tick the right boxes for a ripperologist?
Well, ripperologists can see these things as a challenge, and they consider it, I say they in general terms, a lot of us see it as almost a sport to, whenever something new comes out, to scrutinize it and pick it apart or debate it, because there's so much about this story that is that's debatable, that it inspires it inspires positive and negative kind of, some people take it a little more seriously than others. It's a challenge to yourself to try to, retain these facts too. And a lot of these things, actually, it's a good exercise, I think, for us ripperologists to look at it from different angles. And this play looked at it from a different angle. And I thought it had a lot going for it. Definitely a lot of little details that would be impressive to a ripperologist. But of course, you're gonna get people who nitpick at every little thing, which is, I guess it's part of the fun of it all.
Yeah, definitely. But I just think personally it was really fun and interesting to bring these true crimes into such a setting and into the Sherlock world. Makes it interesting. So, in the episode, Sherlock narrows down his list of Jack the Ripper's suspects to 5 people. Now, the 5th one we can't talk about, as that'll ruin the plot. But what about the first 4, being Aaron Kosminski, Charles Lechmere, Dr. Francis Tumblety, and Jacob Levy? Do any of them fit the profile of Jack the Ripper, in your opinion?
I would say that there's 2 of those names that are probably most closely associated with real theories about the murders, and that would be Aaron Kosminski and Jacob Levy. I think they're, as far as what you've heard from the former police officials at the time, and those two would be definitely more likely than Charles Lechmere or Dr. Francis Tumblety as far as being actual suspects. Now, Lechmere was one of the first 2 people to discover one of the first victims of Jack the Ripper. Mm-hmm. So he's become a topic of discussion lately, but he probably was not actually ever a serious police suspect, whereas Dr. Francis Tumblety was mentioned by Scotland Yard, by an ex special branch detective, as being amongst the suspects. And although, you know, he clearly was taken into consideration, subsequently, he probably wasn't somebody who would have fit that profile, which, I mean, whenever you bring up the word profile, it certainly can be pretty controversial. But in my opinion, Aaron Kosminski and Jacob Levy geographically fit and psychologically probably fit much better than the other 2.
Right. That's some interesting insight. I've been personally fairly invested in this case as well recently. So I'm just going to pick your brain on something. So did you know that the author of the original Sherlock Holmes stories, Arthur Conan Doyle, was taken on a tour of the East End streets where the killings took place by a police detective who was working on the case? Doyle then filed a report to Scotland Yard, and soon afterwards, the murder stopped. Now, his suspect was James K. Stephen, who was a tutor to Prince Albert Victor, son of the Prince of Wales. And some Sherlockians believe that Doyle stayed quiet because of Stephen's royal connections, that he was afraid it would cause a scandal. What's your opinion on all of that?
Well, the thing about J.K. Stephen and Arthur Conan Doyle is fairly recent, as far as I know. There's information on that in a book that I haven't read yet. I've heard Arthur Conan Doyle suggest a possible murderer disguised as a midwife. I've heard him also discuss the possibility, not heard him, but heard of him discussing the possibility that maybe a woman actually that was committing the crimes. And from what I know about the supposed report that was sent to Scotland Yard, my understanding, it was a Dr. Bell, I believe, who was with Sherlock, Arthur Conan Doyle. And they had some theories together, but I'm not sure how much speculation is on the part of the author of this, you know, connecting the J.K. Stephen and the Arthur Conan Doyle. So I'm a little skeptical of that, that particular part of the story. But like I said, I haven't read the book, so I couldn't, you know, tell you specifically any reason why that would be the case. We do know that Arthur Conan Doyle did tour the murder sites with a police detective. And as far as the royal connections, those, when you venture into that kind of area, most people who have studied it will dismiss it pretty much outright, because the royal conspiracy theories, which there's several out there, probably didn't originate till around 1970. So they, anytime you mention any members of the royal family or the prince or his tutor or anything like that, you should really approach these with caution, because it's more fiction than fact, generally speaking, when that's becomes part of the discussion.
All right. Yeah. I'll be sure to keep that in mind the next time I'm reading up about this case. So that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much, Dawn, for taking the time to be on the show. It's so amazing to be able to talk to you from literally the other side of the world. You can follow John's work with his book, The Whitechapel Murders of 1888, Another Dead End, only available through Loretta Lay Books, London. John, is there anywhere else they can, you know, catch up with your work and keep tabs on you?
There's a couple of websites, maybe casebook.org. I've got a dissertation or two there, some nice discussions there. Or also Jack the Ripper forums too. There's some discussions on there. I've written for a few magazines in the past, online, Ripperologist magazine, which is an online magazine that's actually free.
Well, there you go, folks. Thank you again, John, for being on the show. I hope you had fun. I know I certainly did. It was really interesting to hear all you had to share on Jack the Ripper and the whole case.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. It's been a pleasure, and I wouldn't mind doing it again anytime.
Well, actually, the Ripper Street episode is the most popular in our Sherlock Holmes podcast play series, so who knows, maybe we'll do a sequel and we'll have to get you back on the show to have a chat again. But we'll see, we'll see. And listeners, thank you so much for listening in. Or if you're on YouTube, thank you for watching. If you haven't already, go and check out the Sherlock Holmes in Ripper Street episode, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor.fm, and YouTube. And if you'd like to, please subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. We post some of our full shows, we have trailers, interviews, our podcasts, and we have lots more to come. Also, please be sure to follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram at popup_theater. That's where we're the most active currently, and you can see all our updates on future shows and new episodes of this podcast and all that jazz. Say hello, come by. And with that, we say goodbye and see you soon.